Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Harper drips with style. He is at Talk Hoops on Twitter. He writes for FanRag Sports, and he joins us now. Zach, how you been?
I'm excellent. How are you guys?
We're good. That was quite a confluence of circumstances for LeBron James and the Boston Celtics yesterday. Not only was their defense just swarming and recovering under control out to the three-point line, closing out on those three-point shooters, and then the Cavs also just couldn't get the bunnies to fall for them, could never string anything together. How indicative of the series do you think that outcome actually is?
I don't want to take away from what Boston did, but I don't think it's that indicative because I don't think we're going to see dominance like that again in the series. I think Boston can win the series, but that kind of dominance I don't see. With LeBron, I think he's lost game one in a series 16 times, and he's won 9 of those series. So more often than not, he ends up coming back and winning this. This is also one of the worst teams he's had in a decade, if not the worst team he's had in a decade that he's playing with. So it you know, he's got a lot of work to do. He was terrible yesterday, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the Celtics defense. He was just outright terrible. And so, you know, he has to really come back and remind us all, like, oh yeah, this is LeBron. We shouldn't overreact to this.
We talked a lot about how Brad Stevens is that coach who's at the top of the heap right now, perhaps. And if that was his win, if that's your Brad Stevens win because of the rotations defensively or Marcus Morris being on LeBron James, I wonder what the next little wrinkle they throw at LeBron is. Because like you said, I don't think he's that bad again in this series. That said, do you think the figure the Celtics change how they've defended him, or is it throwing Morris out there again and seeing what happens?
I think you'll see, you know, variations on how they double and how they shade help against him. I mean, that was really the brilliance of what they did, is they built these walls around Morris to keep LeBron, you know, when everything was in sight. He knew this driving lane was going to close down, this driving lane was going to close down, and really forced him to trust his teammates, except they do the best job in the world of recovering to the three-point line and running guys off the line if they can. So I think you'll see variations on where they shade from and where they help from, but there's not a lot more you can do. Luckily for them, their coaching against Tyronn Lue, who is not a good adjuster and not a good coach. And so it's not like they'll have to do a whole lot. They're really just adjusting to LeBron's mind and not another coach.
I loved what Brad Stevens said when talking about the early fouls on Marcus Morris. And he said that like 99% of the time, his instinct is leave the player in, let the player figure it out. Don't let it affect the game in a way it doesn't need to. And then he said, in like this classic sort of Zen fashion, he said, if the player fouls out, it means another player will have to play. And the way he has coached this team, you kind of nod along with it, because that's what's happened with all of the billions of dollars that's sitting on the bench next to him wearing suits right now.
Right, exactly. And I love that quote because it reminds me of a quote that Andre Kirilenko gave myself and other reporters once, where we asked, it was when he was playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I don't know how many people remember him playing for the Timberwolves, but Andre Kirilenko played for the T-Wolves for a couple of years. And we asked him, like, hey, you're so good at defending without fouling. How do you do that? Like, what is the mindset? He goes, oh, I just don't foul. And it's such a perfect, brilliant answer, but the same thing with Stevens is, all right, this guy fouls out, and then we just put someone else in. And it's so Spurs-like that it's just, all right, the next guy comes in, and they've got their job to do, and we've taught them how to do their job, and we feel confident that they're going to do it.
Looking ahead to the Warriors-Rockets game tonight, I think everybody's focused on this and has been for an entire season, but I find it hard to make this about anything other than how healthy is Steph Curry and how does he live with the switches that he's going to be thrown over and over again. I mean, he was talking about it talking to the media in a press conference just the other day. He expects every single possession that exact same thing is going to happen, and they're going to see what he's got.
That's what they do. They hunt out those switches, and they play more ISO ball than anybody, and they are the best at playing it. I mean, they really do. They carve up everyone. So that is what it's going to be about. But everything in this league is about Steph Curry. Like, I know LeBron's the best player, and you have, you know, James Harden's going to be the MVP, and you have all these different things. But when Steph Curry is healthy and Steph Curry is in rhythm, no one affects the game like him. Like, no one in this league right now affects the game in the way he does. So everything's going to be about Curry. Can they minimize those switches? Can they help off those switches? Do they decide to blitz that pick and roll coverage when they're trying to get that switch to push the ball out? Like, you can't really do that against Chris Paul. I think you can do that against James Harden because James Harden isn't a very active off-ball player. So if you force the ball out of his hands, he's not a guy who, like, you know, really runs around and moves like Curry would to relocate. So you can kind of stagnate their offense in that way. But that's going to be the keys. One, how do the Rockets take advantage of those switches? And two, how do they avoid Steph Curry just torching their building and burning everything to the ground? Because that's typically what he does.
So maybe this is an oversimplification, but the Rockets and the Warriors are different than like the classic versions of these teams. I think it's sort of lazy to think that the Warriors still bomb away from three to beat you and the Rockets play this high pace game with no defense. And it's not true on either count. Can they just say, look, we are going to provide the defensive attention that Steph Curry needs. And if Kevin Durant is able to hit enough two-point field goals, so be it, because unlike their previous opponent, the Rockets might be able to counterbalance those twos with threes of their own and make the math work.
Yeah, so that's the tricky part. So Utah actually showed a pretty good strategy. They just didn't have the firepower to keep up with the Rockets because the Rockets' defense is very good. But Utah ran the Rockets off the three-point line more often than they're comfortable with. They still shot 35 to 43 a game, but they wanted that to be around 50. You know, and so the Jazz gave them the middle of the floor, said, hey, you can beat us from mid-range. And for the first time all season, the Rockets said, okay, we'll take mid-range jumpers. And for Chris Paul, that's a layup. And you know, for James Harden, it's pretty much a layup. But that's what they did, and they kind of countered that, and they just hit a good percentage of those mid-range shots. The Warriors can do similar things defensively. It's the Warriors are so prolific from three. Do the Rockets settle for those mid-range jumpers? And I'm with you, like, the Rockets are actually a pretty slow team compared to what you would think for Mike D'Antoni. They're somewhere towards middle of the league because I think the presence of Chris Paul, they didn't want to wear him down, and they have so many ways to get those isolation switches and abuse you that they don't need to push the pace as much. The Warriors do want to push the pace. They're playing faster with Steph Curry. They're playing even faster in the playoffs. And so I think they want to push against the Rockets and kind of flip their own style on their head and hit them with threes and get them to the basket and all these things, whereas the Rockets, you know, are a little more meticulous about this.
Zach Carper of FanRag Sports here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show talking a little Warriors and Rockets this evening. I wonder if Steph's not at the maximum percentage. I don't want to say 100% because who's 100% coming off a knee injury like that, but if he's not where he needs to be, it seems to me that it becomes very important for the Warriors to win minutes. James Harden sits those minutes where Chris Paul is leading a Rockets team, and the Warriors in the past have been able to handle Chris Paul led lineups fairly well. I wonder if that screams the same thing to you, or if there are other issues that the Warriors are going to have to capitalize on if Steph Curry's not the Steph Curry he needs to be.
Yeah, that's actually what I've been thinking about a lot with the series is what happens with the staggering of the minutes, because that's the reason the Rockets were so good this year is, one, they're just a great team, but two, they were able to have James Harden or Chris Paul on the floor at all times when the two of them were healthy. You know, they could always have that one, you know, probably Hall of Fame guard on the floor picking you apart, and so they didn't have really a drop-off. And with the Warriors, in those minutes where James Harden sits, and if Curry isn't, you know, up to the standard he needs to be, how does Steve Kerr handle that? Do you just counter and you leave out Kevin Durant for any time Chris Paul is out there alone, Kevin Durant's out there alone, because you'll win that battle every time. Is that how you do it, or do you you know, maybe make sure that Draymond Green is always out there when Chris Paul is out there? You know, they have some decisions to make. I personally would go with Kevin Durant out there at all times when Chris Paul is out there alone, because you know he's still a Hall of Fame 7-foot shooting guard that no one can defend. But that's going to be key of how the Warriors counter that, and then does that force the Rockets to, you know, kind of shorten that rotation and change their staggering of minutes, and do they put Harden out there for extended minutes because of it?
Are you one of those that believes this Western Conference Final is the de facto NBA championship series?
Absolutely. I think it's great we're doing a consolation round afterwards. It's going to be fun. It'll be a fun four or five games. But, yeah, this is the finals.
There it is, Zach Harper. We always appreciate your basketball opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.